Welcome to the divine service this morning. We begin our order of worship with the singing of our opening hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, April 7th, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Ken Richard. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 467, Awake My Heart with Gladness, hymn 467, found in the Lutheran service book. Mike Rose is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in honor of Keena Rose's birthday today. David and Stephanie Opperman are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of their 35th wedding anniversary on April 8th.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens together, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven.
He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The first reading for this, the second Sunday of Easter, from the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, beginning at the 32nd verse. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him were his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The catechetical review. In regards to the table of duties, what does the table of duties say to employers and supervisors?
Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him.
The epistle reading from 1 John, the first and second chapters. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 828. We are called to stand together. Hymn 828 in the Lutheran Service Book.
the sermon text from today's epistle reading. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and made manifest to us. The words of our text. He is risen.
He is
risen indeed. Hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is Jesus? That's a vital question. It's just as important, or can be said of the Godhead. The same thing can be said of Jesus. It's not that you believe in Jesus. It's what you believe about Jesus. That becomes of vital importance. So many have a deficient Jesus. Well, he existed, but he's not God. He's a great teacher, but I don't hold to his claims to be the savior of the world. So many people have a deficient view of Jesus, and we don't want to get drawn into false teachings about Jesus, because if you have a false Jesus, you also forfeit your eternal salvation. As the author C.S. Lewis writes in his book, Mere Christianity, he writes of something called the trilemma. Jesus told the people that their sins were forgiven. You know, like the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. That makes sense only if he really was the God whose laws are broken and whose love is wounded in every sin. I'm trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. Lewis goes on to write, that's the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. You see, you and I were not called to say anything like, well, you just do you. You do you. We are called to contend instead for the truth. That's what the disciples of Jesus did, and in particular what John is doing in today's epistle. The disciples saw Jesus forgive sins. They saw him in the transfiguration. They saw him do miracles. They witnessed him be crucified. They beheld him alive on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to them in the upper room, showing them the wounds in his hands and in his side. They beheld those crucifixion wounds, and paradoxically, they saw him appear and disappear right before their eyes. They watched in awe as he later ascended into heaven. John is very clear that if you do not have the correct Jesus, you do not have a connection to the Father. And if you do not have a connection to the Father, then you aren't connected either to the church on earth, be it the visible church on earth or the invisible church, the body of Christ. Jesus is, as we say, the propitiation for our sins, a long word that simply means the payment for our sins. He is the payment for all of our sins. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, not only your sins, but the sins of the entire world. Jesus paid for your sin, not in part, but in its entirety. There is nothing left over for you to do, no peace for you to pay for yourself. He said from the cross, it is finished. And what is finished? Well, he finished everything that is needed to accomplish your salvation there on Golgotha. You are completely saved by the work of Jesus Christ. So of necessity, we stand apart from those who do not have a correct view of Jesus. folks such as Jehovah's Witnesses who teach that Jesus is not co-equal and not co-eternal with God, but he is separate from God, a created being. And if created, then he is inferior to God. The Jehovah's Witnesses cannot say, as we say, "Very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made." The Mormons, too, have a different Jesus, no matter how much they profess the personal noun of Jesus. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Book of Mormon, another testament to Jesus Christ. Their Jesus is not our Jesus. To a Mormon, Jesus and the Father are not one, but they are two distinct persons. They also deny the Trinity. The Mormon faith is a polytheistic faith, a faith with many gods. For if you keep the Mormon doctrine correctly, they'll teach that you too can become a god of your own planet. And their creed is more along the lines of, as man now is, God once was. As God now is, man may become. So a Mormon would be unable to abide by the saying of Jesus, "I and the Father are one." Their Jesus is a non-saving Jesus, and their grace is a non-grace, for their understanding of grace is simply that God is gracious enough to you to let you earn your own salvation and your own way to heaven. It is also necessary that we stand apart from the lodges who tie their membership in their community to eternal life over and above faith in Jesus Christ and over and above the Jesus of the Bible. A member of the Masonic Lodge, for instance, is taught that their salvation rests not on the Jesus of the Bible, not by repentance and faith in Christ. Rather, purity of life is necessary for them to enter into the celestial lodge above, where the supreme architect of the universe presides. But if they faced the Ten Commandments honestly, they would realize they would simply have turned themselves into the rich young ruler who, when confronted with the law of God, said, "Well, all these I have kept ever since I was a youth." No, no one has kept the commandments. It's like when Jesus was asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" "Who is good? Only one is good, and that is God." When faced with the Ten Commandments, we realize that we are all indeed sinners and cannot earn our eternal life, but must rely on God's graciousness through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The lodge, then, is nothing but works righteousness. And works righteousness is condemned by scriptures in Romans chapter 4. To the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. And any God-fearing man would rebuff membership in the Mason Lodge. Indeed, any confessing Christian would reject any organization that promotes eternal life by membership in some organization apart from Jesus Christ. We reject Unitarianism, as it teaches that Jesus is not God, nor is he physically resurrected, but he is only a great Jewish teacher who is the supreme example of living with integrity and compassion. That is no saving Jesus, and it is a complete misrepresentation of who Jesus is. In the same way, we reject and condemn any version of synergism. That is, synergism meaning cooperation with Jesus. In other words, Jesus does his part and you do your part. That's why we won't say in our churches, "You know, I gave my heart to Jesus. Why would he want my heart? I've seen my heart. It's black and coal and rotted. But he takes my heart. He is the one who's doing all of the work, not me. I don't share in my salvation with Jesus. Jesus is my salvation." And so we push back by any synergism, any part of anyone who says, "Jesus and me together, we got this." If any version of "Jesus and me together, we got this" is saying that there wasn't enough, how dare anyone say that the death of the Son of God just isn't enough? As it is written, "By works of the law shall no one be justified, For if justification were by the law, then Christ died to no purpose. Which brings us right back to what John is stating. That to have fellowship, to have a bond with God, means to know who Jesus is, what he has done and accomplished, and then trusting in that Jesus. What Jesus is John witnessing to so that we may believe? God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation was incarnate by the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. It's that Jesus. He is the Word of God who was with the Father before creation. He is the Word of God who was there before time began. He is the life who has stepped into the world. He is the divine essence in personality and in activity. Jesus is the life eternal who brought life to us who were dead in our trespasses and sins. And we reside in him and we have fellowship with him. This Word, this Jesus, this God incarnate is the Jesus that the disciples beheld. It is the one whom they saw. It is the Jesus whom they were direct witnesses to. And it is the very Word made flesh that the disciples proclaimed so that their readers and their hearers would have eternal life in this Jesus. This is the Jesus who has died and who bodily rose again on the third day. This is the Jesus who gives us his true body and his true blood in the sacrament of the altar for the forgiveness of our sins and for life everlasting. This is the Jesus to whom we are connected in our own baptisms. Our fellowship with one another and with the Father is through Christ and Christ alone, for there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. His name is Jesus. He is the Word made flesh, and in him, and him alone, is life everlasting. In that Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus Christ, there are many false teachers within the church, false religions and philosophies in the world. Please keep us in the true confession of who you are and what you have done for our salvation. Preserve us from false teaching and from the waywardness of our old Adam. Draw back unto you those who have fallen into error, so that all of your children would come to the glories of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, in your mercy you have called Phyllis Hahn from this life to the glories of your throne room in heaven. Comfort her husband as he mourns her death, and assure her daughters of your gracious presence. We thank you for Phyllis's confession of Jesus as her Savior, and we ask you to help us look forward to the glories of the outcome of our faith, the resurrection of the dead at Christ's return. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God, we ask you to hear our thanksgiving for Reese Volley's successful surgery and for answering his family's and our prayers with a yes. And now we are bold to ask for continued healing for Reese in the days ahead, that his little frame be strengthened and his family be given both patience and peace for the days ahead. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the birth of new life into the world in the person of Sophia Brunchen, born to John and Catherine. We praise you for the addition of this little girl into her family's waiting arms and ask you to watch over her as she will soon come to the waters of holy baptism, where she will be welcomed into both your waiting arms as your daughter and into the arms of our congregation. May Sophia's entire family rejoice at her arrival, all to the glory of your name. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
O risen and ascended Christ, this day you bless us with the receiving of your Holy Supper. We pray that here in the sacrament of the altar, we rejoice in the forgiveness of our sins, and with that forgiveness, the promise of everlasting life. Grant that we always approach your table in repentance and faith, so that we may truly give thanks for all the blessings offered in your body and your blood. All these things we ask in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You've been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We arise for the singing of the offertory. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please rise. The true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is hymn number 917, Savior, Again to Thy Dear Name We Raise, hymn 917 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Two brief announcements this morning. First, there is youth group this afternoon. It is Christian formation and games. So that'll be from 4 to 5:45. Please bring a drink or a snack to share with the other youth group individuals who are there. And also, as you exit this morning, there are two offering plates on stands at the back of the pews. There is a door offering today for the Suing family. It helped them recover from the fire that they had. Of course, the house and everything was a total loss, so they're going to take quite a bit to recovery. So if you can help out in any way, it'd be greatly appreciated. And may the Lord bless all of you, and He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
That's